gets you down and you feel more broken than whole. When the wounds go deeper than words and you can't tell a soul. I may not know is far too busy to care about your trouble and strife. He sees the sparrow that falls to the ground, and he hears the tears that don't make a sound. If you only knew how precious you are in his sight.
Thank you, Lee. I have never heard that song. Wasn't that beautiful? Theologically and biblically grounded. Thank you, ladies, so much for that. That really sets the mood for our message today. Children's Church, you're dismissed at this time. Miss Kelly, great to have you. Man, they're all related to you. Holy cow. All right, Mark chapter 7. We're going to have a lot of verses today. And so take a deep breath, relax. And I think this is an appropriate message for the time we live in. But because we're going to be talking about some things, there needs to be a lot of verses because there needs to be clarity of the accuracy of what we're talking about today. So, in verse 31 of Mark chapter 7, they departed from the region of Tyre and Sidon. If you remember, Jesus went up north to Tyre and Sidon, where he met that woman who just wanted a scrap, and we talked about that last week. So he comes down to the midst of the region of Decapolis, to the Sea of Galilee, and they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they begged him to put his hand on him. So let's just see if we've learned anything over the last month or so. So they begged him to do something. What'd they beg him to do? Put his hand on this person. Does that show great faith or average faith? So we would say average, because does he have to put his hand? Remember the centurion? Just say the word. I just want a little scrap, the woman. So these great acts of faith. In fact, look at the response of Jesus in verse 33. He took him aside from the multitude, put his fingers in his ears, spat and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, and he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. So he does an interesting thing, and I had a good conversation with Larry about this yesterday. So Jesus goes through a very outward kind of showing, takes the fingers, stuffs them right in his ears, spits on his hand and touches his tongue. Does he have to do these things? He doesn't. He does something else in verse 34 that really caught my attention. Anybody see it in verse 34? He sighs, and that caught my attention. So Larry pointed this out. If you look at chapter 8, the next chapter, and look at verse 12, it says, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And so there was frustration in Jesus, in which people were more interested in the miracles, more interested in the outward things. And we see that today in churches. They want all of the miracles, the signs and the wonders. You know, the Bible says a wicked and perverse generation seeks after a sign. And Jesus says the only sign you're going to need is a sign of Jonah. What did he mean by that? Well, Jonah was in the whale how many days? 3. So what is the ultimate sign that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ is Lord? The only sign that truly matters, the only sign that is ultimate proof that he is who he says he is. What is the sign? He rose from the dead. And we still want more. We want more proof. We wanted to do something else. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He came down from his throne in heaven to be born in a human, God in the flesh, and then lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross for our sins, was buried with our sins, leaving no hope until the third day when he what? Rose from the dead. Shame on us that we need something else. That's what he's saying here. Shame on us that we would search for some powers that are out there other than the greatest power of all, the power of the resurrection. So he sighs because, again, they don't want anything to do with the spiritual side of Jesus. They just want the physical side of Jesus. But he still heals the man. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. He spoke plainly. He commanded them that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Why wouldn't he want people to talk about him? Well, once his fame spreads, what do? They crucify him. And it wasn't time yet. So Jesus is trying to keep this. He's way north. He's over by the Sea of Galilee. The time will come. But they were astonished, verse 37 says, beyond measure, saying he has done all things well. I don't do this very often, but if you would just say that with me, he has done all things well. Ready, begin. He has done all things well. If you don't believe that, it's just the truth. He just does things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. So what we're going to do today is we're going to show you from the scripture that only God can open your ears to the truth of his word. Only God can open your ears. And it works this way. As your ears are open, in fact, Nathan, let's put that first slide up there. It says very, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. So this is how it works. The Bible, and this is the truth, this is absolute truth. Do you know how God, the Bible describes preaching? God gives a word to it. Do you know what that word is? Foolishness. So God says, by the foolishness of preaching, you have no idea this method that God uses, that this clown stands up here and shares with you these words of life. What, you know, remember when Balaam, when God used the jackass to talk to him and set him on a, it hasn't changed. God still does that today. And it's kind of foolishness. But the truth is, the words that are in this book, the word of God is quick and what? They're powerful. And when they reach your ears, if God will open them, then what goes into your ears completely changes your heart. And when your heart is changed, what comes out of your mouth completely changes. So as God heals your ears, because why do you think this man had an impediment in his speech? Because he was deaf. But the Bible says immediately when he cured his ears, he began to speak. Don't you think it would have took him time to learn and hear and learn how to talk? So what goes into our ears by the word of God completely changes. But the problem is, human beings have a rebellious ear. They don't want to hear the things of God. And if you don't want to hear the things of God, God's not going to force it down your ears. It says this in Ezekiel 12, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, which has eyes to see but does not see, and ears to hear but does not hear, for they are a rebellious house. We're all rebellious. No one seeketh after God. But if you here are a believer in Jesus Christ and you know that his word is true and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord, God did a miracle in your life. God took a rebellious ear and opened it up. Larry said in Sunday school this morning, I thought it was a brilliant statement. He said someone came to him and asked him, how does he know that the Bible is true? How does he know that God, Jesus Christ is Lord? And Larry's answer was, I don't know. How do I know? Why do I know it? Because God took these deaf ears and opened them. Deuteronomy 29:2 says, Moses called Israel and said to them, you've all seen that the Lord did what all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to the servants in his land, to the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to hear, see and ears to hear to this very day. So the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. So who's going to give them ears to hear? God does. So why didn't he? Because they saw everything. This is Deuteronomy, which means this is after. Remember they went in to spy the land and they came back and what was the report? Or like grasshoppers, we can't go. And because they wouldn't listen to God, remember Joshua and Caleb? Listen to God, he's given it to us, just listen. They wouldn't listen. And so God says, look, it, you don't want to listen? Fine, I'll just close your ears. Verse 5 says, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Now, when you see eat bread and drink wine, what do you think of in New Testament days? The broken body of our Lord and the shed blood. They didn't want their ears open. They look at the things they saw. They saw the 10 plagues. They saw the Red Sea open. They walked in the wilderness and none of their clothes wore out for 40 years. And they still wanted more signs. They still wanted more wonders. Here's the message today. Do you trust in this book? Do you trust that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? And is Jesus dying and being buried and risen again the third day enough? Or are you still seeking for signs and wonders? Still seeking for proof? What more do we need than what he's already done for us? Micah 7 described it this way. He says, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth, and their ears shall be deaf. So notice that it was them that didn't want. That's how people are today. We don't want to hear the gospel. We want the Bible taken out of our schools. We want the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms. La, la, la. We don't want Jesus. We don't want religion. We don't want God. How many of you have ever been asked for advice, and then it was followed up with, can you give me some advice, but don't give me verses? Anybody ever had that? Raise your hand. And people don't want Jesus. They don't want the gospel. Well, guess what? That's all I got. That's all I have to offer. Because it did not take me long to realize I don't have a whole lot of input to this world. My wisdom is foolishness to God. My opinions were found wanting as I grew older and as I studied this book. Zechariah put it this way in Zechariah 7. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother. Stay right here, Nathan. Okay, look at these verses. I just want you to read that for a second and ask yourself a very simple question. Would this message offend anybody? Here's the message. I just want you all to show mercy and compassion. Isn't that what the world desires today? Why can't we just love and have compassion? Why is everybody so mean? Don't oppress the widow. Who would want to oppress the widow? No politician is going to stand and say, I believe we ought to oppress widows. That's what I'm standing for. If you vote for me, every widow will be oppressed. No one's going to vote for that person. So nobody would fight against these principles. All right, Nathan, next verse. But they refused to heed. Why? It's not what the message was. It's who the message was coming from. We have a message of grace and mercy and forgiveness. But because it's coming from Jesus, the world will stop their ears, shut their mouths. We don't want to hear it. They shrugged their shoulders. Man, if I had a nickel for every shoulder shrug from students who were in Bible class. Okay. Well, Jesus loves you. Okay. They shrugged their shoulders. They stopped their ears so they could not hear. So you say, well, why God? Why did, if God can open our ears, why doesn't he open the ears of everybody? Because not everybody wants their ears open. Yet they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law of the words which the Lord had and hosts had sent and the Holy Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came upon the host. Isaiah 6:9 says it this way. He says, go and tell the people, keep on hearing, but they don't understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they hear with their eyes, and lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Well, why wouldn't God? And this is all because Romans 1 says man suppresses the truth. They don't want to hear it. And God says, fine. You're not going to hear it then. So my question today is, are you willing to hear the gospel today? Is it something you really desire? Acts 7:51 says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. So if I tell you this morning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to God except through Jesus, how does your heart and ears respond to that? Does it respond in amen, thank God for Jesus? Or does it respond as, you Christians think you're so arrogant, you think you're the only way, you think all other religions are wrong, it's only because all other religions are wrong. Because the Bible is the truth. Thy word is truth, John 17:17. So I pause for a second before we get to the next point. Do you even want to hear? Is that something you desire? Do you desire to know more about your God, to know more about the truth of Jesus? Do you desire to know the truth? If you do, God can miraculously open the ears of a repentant heart and a repentant ear. Isaiah 32 says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness. Well, who do you think that king is? It's Jesus. Princes will rule with justice. A man will be as a hiding place in the wind, from the wind, in a cover of the tempest, as a river of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Remember that old hymn? Jesus is the rock in the weary land. What'll happen? Well, the eyes of those who see will not be dim. The ears of those who hear will listen. And the heart of the rash will understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammerers will be ready to speak plainly. God's going to open the ears and the mouth. Isaiah 53 says, strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. David prays in Psalm 46, sacrifice an offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. So who does David give credit to? Completely to God. Burn offerings and sin offerings you don't require. I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, and your law was in my heart. This is what changes. He delights to do his will. Once God opened his ears. There came a day when what I heard about God somehow sunk in. Somehow got through these deaf ears. And I knew it was the truth. It was Easter Sunday, 1979. And I knew that this was the truth. I'd heard it. I'd listened. But my ears were deaf. Matthew 13:16. This is an incredible verse. This verse is amazing. If you hear nothing else, you can go back to your naps right after this verse. But this one you should hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and do not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. When someone comes to Larry and says, how do you know? They have a desire to have that same knowledge. And that's what we carry with us. We walk in our lives with a confidence that the word of God is true, that Jesus is the way to heaven, that when we die, we're going to be with him, that he guides and directs our life because our ears have been opened to the truth. And there are so many that really desire to hear what we hear. And that's when we are ready to give an answer for that hope that lies within us. Acts 28:27, the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known that salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will hear it. So God goes back to the Old Testament verses we already read. It says, okay, Israel, Jews, you've turned against me. You don't want to listen. I'm going to close your ears. I'm going to turn to the Gentile world. And what's God going to do with their ears? I'm going to open them. And the gospel began to spread to the ends of the earth. But do you want to? Look at this first. John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will. So just look at that first part. What's that mean? If anyone wills to do his will. Do you have a desire to follow God? Maybe you spend your time in church or in Bible studies trying to find a loophole to get out of this thing. Well, no, it says here, and you said this, and I was on the internet, and I was on TikTok, and they said this, and I was over here on Facebook, and then somebody said this, and you're looking for a loophole, somebody to give you a reason to get out of this whole religious thing. Or maybe you're sitting here with a desire, if I just knew, that was my prayer. God, if I knew for sure that you were real, I'd follow you. But I don't want to be duped. I don't want to be fooled. And I was miraculously given a confidence to know that the Bible was true. It was a moment I'll never forget. So God says, look, if anyone wills it, if you really desire, then he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. If you really want to, and you say to God, God, is what this fat gray-haired guy is saying true or not true? I want to know. That I don't trust that nasally guy. But you can trust what the nasally guy is putting up on the screen. This is where the power is. I love this verse, Luke 9:44. Let these words sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of men. But they did not understand, saying it was hidden from them. So they did not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. So it didn't sink in right away. And sometimes, how many of you have ever got to a verse that you've read 50 times, and all of a sudden it opened up to you, and you said, man, I never saw that verse like that before. That verse really is sinking in today. There's nothing better than just going through the scriptures day by day, every day, reading it and letting it sink in. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Mark 4:9 says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Over 15 times in the Bible it has that statement. He who has an ear, let him hear. So here's what you can do. It's very simple on your part. When you communicate to God, let him know you want to hear. God, I will to do your will. I want to follow you. I want to know if you are real. If you don't want any part of it, if you want nothing to do with God, nothing to do with the Bible, nothing to do with church, then he just may leave your ears closed. But I don't see any reason for you not to go to God and say, God, if you're real, open my ears so I know it. I want that same confidence I see in Don Clinton. I want that confidence I see in Larry Milliken. I want that confidence I see in Dave Heinrich. I want that confidence I see in the women of this church. God will give it to you. Here's the problem. 2 Timothy 4:3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine according to their own desires because they have itching ears. They'll heap up for themselves teachers and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Not everybody likes the truth. Men love darkness rather than light. They'd rather have fables and stories and tell you that everything's fine and you can sin and do whatever you want. It's not the gospel. The gospel is we are sinners, but Jesus loves us and forgave us and died for us. So that's the ear. Once the ear is taken care of, and God does miraculous work of taking that deaf ear, and the truth is now understood, then what happens is your mouth, your impediment in your mouth changes. What comes out? What does the Bible say about what proceeds out of the mouth? The heart of a man, isn't it? Well, if your heart is changed, then obviously what comes out of your mouth will change. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Well, who's the rock? Jesus. He established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will hear it and will trust in the Lord. Now everything changes. Our ears have been open, and I remember telling friends, man, something happened to me. God is real. Did you know, guys, know God is real? And everybody said, oh, John, we're so happy for you. I think they called me all kinds of things. I remember Bible Thumper being a pretty, that was a common one. Don't become one of them Bible Thumpers, Flanagan. I guess this is what I'm doing. I guess this is what, I'm now a professional Bible Thumper. But there's a new song. Things change. Luke 21:14 is great. These verses are really good. So, therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. I will give you a mouth of wisdom with all adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. See, when the apostles went out, God said, don't even worry about what you're going to say. When they were arrested, he told them in Matthew 10:19, when they deliver you, don't worry about how you're going to speak. For it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Jeremiah said, the Lord has put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put words in your mouth. This is why we have so many of these up on the screen. Because the words need to be, these words need to come out of this mouth. As nasally as it may sound to you, the words have power in them. Acts 5:19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. So the apostles were put in jail, and they were instructed not to speak the words of God. An angel came, latched the door, and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. That's all we're supposed to be doing. What else is there to live for except to preach the wonderful words of life? Ephesians 6:19, as for me and my utterance may be given to me, Paul says, pray for me in Ephesians 6:19 that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Proverbs 18:1, this is a powerful verse. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You have, now that your ears have been unstopped and the gospel has been placed into your heart, you have the words of life. But if you want to go around telling people that the Bible's not real, there is no God, it's all boring and this is ridiculous, you are actually preaching words of death. Because the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life. So when you have the ability and the knowledge, remember that verse that said people want to hear what you hear. They want to see what you see. So when our ears are opened, then our mouth completely changes. So when Jesus physically heals this deaf man and he begins to speak, he did the same thing with us as Christians. Our deaf, unlearned ears were finally unstopped. And we heard the gospel as truth for the first time. And we responded. And everything changed that came out of our mouth. You want to see how it really works? Turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll close with this. Acts chapter 2 is the perfect example of what God has done with our ears and mouths. Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit comes. And they were all gathered together. And verse 2 says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house that they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire and sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's an incredible miracle. The Holy Spirit comes for the first time, and all of a sudden they are able to speak the truth of God in any language they wanted to. Look at verse 5. It says, there were dwelling there in Jerusalem and Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, the mighty wind, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. So that we get confused that the miracle of tongues is something that is different. The miracle of tongues was the ability for Peter to preach the truth in one language while God opened the ears through the Holy Spirit so people could hear in their own language. So what people don't understand is that this was not a miracle of the mouth, it was a miracle of the ears. Look what it says in verse 7. They were amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear in our own language in which we were born? And so the idea is that they were hearing the gospel. So here's the thing about God. Every miracle of God of tongue and ear is to bring clarity. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so look at this next verse, verse 9. Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia. These are all the places they were from, and they all spoke different languages. Egypt and parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. What did they hear? It's a miracle of the ears. God unstopped them and then gave a miracle of the lips in which what they spoke, no matter what language you spoke, it would be like me saying, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I would just say that in English. And if you were Spanish, you'd hear Spanish. If you were Italian, you'd hear Italian. If you were Russian, then you'd be getting home because you're late for dinner. The Russian. Never mind. The point is that you would hear in your own language the wonderful works of God. What a miracle. What a miracle. Boy, have we twisted this miracle around, haven't we? Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him who have they not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Here's the point. There are deaf ears out there that God is prepared to open up. There are deaf ears out there that God is prepared to give them the ability to hear the truth for the first time. And it's up to us to take these lips that have been changed and bring them the truth. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I've used this verse 3 times today because that's the verse. So what's our prayer today, Lord? Open our ears and take these vile tongues. Remember how James describes our tongues? He says they're from the pits of hell. And may God take our vile tongues and put a new song in them and give us boldness to speak the wonderful words of life. And may God open the ears of those who are listening to the gospel, to those who are hearing it for the first time. Well, maybe they've heard it 100 times. But maybe they finally hear it for the first time. And we must pray for your loved ones. If you have loved ones who are not born again, not saved, your prayer is that God would open their ears to the gospel truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your blessings of salvation. Lord, I thank you for the miracle of helping us who understand very little that we understand the power and the principles of the gospel. We understand that we were sinners and that the wages of sin is death. We understand that Jesus demonstrated his love towards us by dying for us We understand that he rose again the third day. The only sign we need to trust in the gospel. And Lord, may that be enough. May our ears continually be open. May we continue to hear and learn more from you, Lord. And may we be bold in our presentation of this amazing truth. And may you open the ears of those we talk to in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. Remember, we have the Grand Prix at 5 o'clock and no evening Bible study. God bless you. Have a great day.